top with Giordano. Two on one. Michael Backlund shoots. Scores!
Penning. Great move. Here is Penning. Shot. Scores!
Comes free to Shane. Locked by Lucic. Ran him over.
And he wins it back to Foley. Scores!
No way! Oh, my! No way!
Kurt Fiddler backhand.
Oh, my!
It is. Now we're waiting.
Slides it in front, scores! Jason
Chimura! Checked in by Matthews, here it is, scores!
5 minutes into overtime, in game five, and McDavid scores! Game winner, series winner, for Connor McDavid!
I have been a murder man for all my life, and I'll be a murder man.
Welcome back to the 2 Mutts podcast presented by Pete's Concrete. I am your host, Joshua Marshall, and we are back for NHL playoff predictions. The Stanley Cup Finals starts on Saturday, and we're going to get the guys going here and their predictions. And we got a few that were sent in to us, so we'll read those too. Will McNeil, he sent his in. Dustin Kamel.
Oh, shit, eh?
Yeah, I asked him. I said, what's your pick? So, and then Dustin didn't want to do his because obviously he's got a very close situation of someone he's friends with. So I think anyone.
Oh, fucking Kamel, get off the fence.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get to our guys. We got the round table. We got Brody McIntyre. Let's get to the closer first. How's it going, closer?
It's going great, buddy. Friday, you know, got a little glass of red wine going here. A little Rioja Tinto.
There you
nice.
Go.
Yeah. Got a little glass of vino going. It's Friday. It's almost the weekend. Life's pretty good. Playoffs start tomorrow. I got Oilers tickets for game two,
nice.
Which was originally supposed to be on Thursday when I was out of town. I woke up this morning, looked at Twitter, it said Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's a great day.
I think you put in the group chat you're going Wednesday anyway. So maybe they're.
I thought it was originally Thursday, right? And
yeah.
Then I was going to be out of town. And so it's working out really. Everything's coming up roadie right now.
There you go. coming up the closer. And the other voice you hear is Clay Vanderham. Vandy, how's it going?
Vandy is dandy. I attended the Southside Athletic Club banquet last night. They were honoring a friend and a kid I used to coach who tragically passed away earlier this year. And it was good seeing everybody. And Justin Penner, who coached the St. Albert U-17 AAA Provincial Champs.
No big deal.
Caught up with him. Yeah, right. It was good. It was a good day and a good week. Week's done, and let's head into the weekend.
There you go. You got that right. So,
how are you, Bosco?
Yeah, you know what? Brody was a part of this podcast before this episode with Mind Buffs with Alex and Matt from Mind Buffs, and I had a long chat with Alex, who's a close friend. I've known her probably about 14 years now. And she started that company with Matt, and they've been growing and growing ever since. And they kind of they came on our podcast. And so I was just kind of doing some research, and then boom, I was like, Mind Buffs, I can get some counseling here. So I got my first session set up for next weekend. And positive step yesterday and healing and getting, and then I found a new church too, the Saint Church. And a friend of the pod and Phil Stockley kind of knows Brett. They went to Bible college together, recommended him and my friend Marissa too. So two good things there. And you know what? You get one shot in life, right? So make the freaking most of it. So and grab right. The throat and don't turn back. So you get
Maddie D from Mind Buffs.
You used to coach him, right?
We coached him 1 year, Trev and I.
Yeah.
1 year.
Yeah.
I think
Tell me about him as a player.
The one of those kids that just the puck followed him.
Interesting.
It just always ended up on his stick. Yeah. And
at the right time too, probably.
Yeah. And he could, I think he was a good skater. That was fucking 20 years ago, dude. I think it was Bantam when we had him, maybe.
Yeah. He did talk about that when he was on with us. So
yeah. Good kid, good family, yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously got a successful career, so.
Yeah,
it's weird. Hey, good family. Now he's doing good things. Weird how that works out.
Right? We were just talking about that. Yeah.
No.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's good. And definitely recommend MindBus to anyone. Check them out at mindbus.com. Set up an appointment. They got endless amounts of team members there that can help you guys out. So definitely check them out, and you'll be very satisfied in what you get in return. And I know I'm going to be when I start my first session next Saturday. So so that's good there. So other than that, yeah, no, off work here, dealing with some stuff. And but we're definitely moving forward. Stanley Cup Finals, staying positive is best, and stay engaged. And obviously a bittersweet situation. Obviously, we've had a couple of friends of the pod play for the Arizona/Phoenix Coyotes, and you know, Gilbert Brule, obviously Vernon Fiddler, a couple others. You know, they leave, they go to Utah. We'll get into that before we get into some playoff talk. But Vandy, before you we hit record, you said you listened to the press conference. Your thoughts?
I did. I mean, I turned NHL Network on when I got home, and it was Utah owner, or the owner and his wife and Gary, and then they had the governor and all that. Listen, this guy, I want to have a beer with this guy. There's a reason. He's got some charisma to him. And there's a, like, he's just, you can just see he's just straight sales. Like, he can, I was ready to buy season tickets. I don't even live in Utah. Like, this guy is selling everything. He's like, we're going to build this, that, the other thing. I don't know how we're going to get 100,000 square feet or whatever it is in downtown Salt Lake City, but the everybody made it happen. No, it's a 180 from what they had.
Yes.
And I mean, obviously look at the Utah Jazz and what he's done with them, and you know, it's he to me, you just look at him without him saying, and he may have come out and said it, but he is the prototypical owner that knows shit about shit, but hires the right people.
Yeah.
And you can just tell. And I imagine his wife is probably the ringleader, but he's the voice. And you can just tell he's, you know, you surround yourself with good people and good things happen.
Yeah.
And he's got but the charisma was one that I was taken back, like kept whispering in Bettman's ear. And like,
what was he wearing?
I don't know.
Not a too much podcast hoodie, but maybe one day.
No, right? But maybe one day, right? Yeah. And I don't know. It was just like a smoker's jacket, not like a suit or anything.
Not a suit. But, I saw him on TSN or SportsCenter. He was in a hoodie.
Yeah.
Right. Talking to him, like, oh my god, you're on TSN for your first interview and you're wearing a goddamn hoodie.
It wasn't anything extravagant. His wife looked good.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, and like, it was funny because they would pan, like the governor would be talking or whoever it was, and then they'd pan over and he'd be whispering in Gary's ear. You don't see that. No. Like, you think, you know, like owners, you think Daryl Cates is doing that? Daryl Cates is just sitting there like, you know, whatever. But
yeah
it was just, I mean, and he had Bettman smiling, and yeah, it was, I mean, it's obviously a jovial occasion for everybody, but he was, it's going to be interesting. He's going to do good things up there, I think.
Yeah, he will. Brody, your thoughts on the whole situation and the excitement going to Utah?
Well, the excitement's pretty cool. Seems like an absolute beauty. I actually Googled him, and whatever he invented and started and sold, and I don't remember the name of the company, started something 2017.
Spa.
According to Wikipedia.
Like it's like an online accounts payable receivable kind of thing.
Okay.
And or sold SAP. It, like, sorry, it's SAP. I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. And sold it a year later for like billions of dollars.
Fucking.
Like God. Overnight billionaire. Like, oh my God, so he goes from a dude to a billionaire in a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's insanity.
Yeah. But the thing is, he's still a dude.
He's just a dude, man.
Yeah. It was funny.
I don't think he knows he's a billionaire yet. He's just, when you listen to him and see him, you're like, I want to go on a golf trip with that guy.
Yeah.
Right? And he probably would. He seems like he's that type of guy.
Yeah, I was watching.
I think the only hesitation would be the size of the market, personally. I, you know, just a million people there, right? But guess we'll find out.
Yeah, Noodles was saying, within the area, if you kind of get everyone to come in, which is like a 45-minute drive, it can get up to 2.7 million. Okay. Used to play there back in the day, Noodles, our buddy Jamie Noodles McLennan. And so he was saying, like, yes, in it is that small what you would think, but if you get anyone from outside, which is a half an hour to 45 minute drive, you're quickly up to like 2.7 million. So it's still.
They don't drink in Utah. So they're fucking.
Well, that was the thing too, is like Pat McAfee's show. Like, they FaceTimed him this morning and he's like, they're Mormons there. So he keeps doing, like, he's been on his show several times. And I don't know if you guys saw it today. They obviously had Biz on and it was quite funny. Like, Pat was showing a different way to hook up with a lady, I guess, and how they do it there. But yeah,
they felt soaking.
Yeah, well, that's what.
That's unbelievable. Have you heard of this, boss? Either of you heard of this?
I heard it because like they were talking about it today on the show. Because Colby Armstrong said that they should be called the Utah Soakers or whatever.
Come on,
is it called soaking? Is that what
you know what this is, Vandy?
No, I do not.
The greatest thing I've ever seen or heard in my life. So, because they're Mormon, they can't have sex. So they pay a guest. So Deanna and I are dating, but we can't have sex because we're Mormon. So we pay you $100 and I put penis in vagina, but I don't move. So we're not having sex. It just happens to be a penis in a vagina. And you rattle around the bed and shake it up and down and do stuff. You're the soaker.
Fuck off.
So the penis is in the vagina soaking, but we pay you to.
This is so a Friday night podcast. What the fuck?
Yeah. So, that's what it is, which is unbelievable. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, they were talking about it on Pat show today. So that was quite funny. I can't do the imitate.
So hang on, they'll pay like an outside guy to do that?
Yep, they'll pay like their buddy to come over and just rattle the bed for 30 minutes while they soak.
Come on. Okay, I'm Googling this. Jesus.
And they close the bars down at 1, right? So at
1. Well, here's the other thing. So because BYU, the big university there, they can't play on Sundays. So does that mean Utah
might not?
Oh, I wonder.
Yeah. Let's see if
you know what though? My wife went to school at Idaho State, and so they traveled to Salt Lake City, and she says it's an absolutely beautiful town.
I've heard that.
Beautiful there.
Yeah, Trevor.
And what if Frank Zeravelli said it is the fourth fastest? I'm sorry if you guys hear an echo. I don't know why it's echoing.
Oh, no.
It's the fourth fastest growing metropolis in the United States.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Phoenix is probably number one, though. Just saying.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting because, you know, obviously friend of the pod and Trevor Lewis, a LA King player. He's from there, so now he gets the chance to maybe play in his hometown for the first time.
Cool.
He's towards the end of his career here, but, you know, he had a pretty good year for the Kings, so maybe they'll sign him there because he's a hometown boy, or, you know, maybe he'll go back to L.A. He's still.
Oh, you know what? This is one thing that caught my attention. A reporter asked him, basically, out of context, the reporter said, is everybody safe? Meaning, like the Bill Armstrong is it Bill Armstrong?
Yep, the GM
and the coaches and whatnot. And he said, "Look, when we bought this team, we bought the people, and the people ain't going anywhere." And I'm like, "Jesus Christ, I'm moving to Utah. I want a skeleton."
Yeah, that's
like give me right.
I talked to
Tyson. This is a guy that gets it, man.
Yeah, I was talking to Tyson Nash this morning when I woke up and. Just sent him a message. He sent one back and something short, but obviously he's a broadcaster for the Coyotes. So I'm hoping that he goes over there too. And Todd Walsh, like that was very emotional to see those, the final sends off, but you know, hopefully that they all go.
They'll be back. I mean, Bettman said it today. They'll be back.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I don't know if I trust that owner in
Alex Morello,
Arizona, Alex, though, man. And are you, if you're, gonna have to build this arena in what is it, 4 years, 5 years? Is that what the window is?
It's 5 years pretty much from
So if he
builds the arena, he 100% gets a new team or no?
Pretty well, the way
I think he gets first dibs,
He's for 5 years, so obviously the big date is June 27th, the auction. It's a live auction, it's public, so That's the first hurdle. So if he wins that auction, you know, he could be the only one that shows up, or there could be 16 other people that show up. But if he wins that auction, then that's the first step. Then he has 30 days after that to put in the money to the NHL, and then boom, the rest is history on them building a construction, right? So he comes out bigger and better than what the deal was, because he bought the team for $300 million and he walks away with $1 billion.
So, and then he gets to buy a team back for $1 billion.
Yes.
And in between, if somebody buys it, and they just sold the last one, his own, for 1.3 or 1.2, whatever.
Yeah.
If this Morello's smart, he's going to Shibuya, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, and going, come on, let's get something going here.
Yeah. 1,000%. So we'll see. We'll see.
I didn't like him in the interview though at all.
No.
The one question, obviously, Spit and Chicklets posted on their account is the season ticket holders that have paid up for a couple of years here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting their money back, and he looked like, I needed more time. He looked pretty stressed out, right?
So, it's just
happened. He's got $1 billion. He can afford to pay them up.
100%.
Yeah, but that's why he has $1 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
He ain't paying that shit.
Well, Biz was on Pat's show today, and he said he was holding this for a bit, but he wasn't paying hotel bills, right? So they were arguing with like hotel bills. So
Uppy was saying a sticky process. That's like
because Biz said it, but Uppy was saying different on his podcast.
Yeah, I don't know how it fucking works, but like there's different, like they bill in certain times and month end, fiscal years, and all that shit come into play. But
Kate's was like that. Remember the 1 year, right?
100%.
That was a rumor about the Oilers.
Yeah, it was there must be more to it that we don't know or we'll never know, right? So obviously a tough situation, but you know, thinking of the people that don't get to go with the team, but
correct. I mean, you think of, and if you listen to Tyson Nash on Chicklets and you know, Scotty Upshaw talking, and you think of the like gate, you know, the ticket takers, the attendance and all that.
Yeah,
concessions.
Yeah, concessions, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, I don't know if they'll be all that, because they still have the ASU program in there. It's not like the building's getting abandoned, right? Yeah. But still, nevertheless, it sucks for everybody involved.
Yeah, it does. It does for sure. So,
Coach Rupper here from Two Mutts. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Now let's grab a knee. Have I got a deal for you? We have teamed up with Manscaped, and we can save you some big time coin this upcoming NHL season. Guys, are your sticks and pucks getting hairy in the corners? And gals, is your goalie still using horsehair Coopers? Well, let's wake up! Use the code 2MUTS to save 20% plus free shipping on Manscaped products. Listen, we all love to score, and we all want to win the cup. Why not do it on a fresh, clean, smooth sheet of ice? That way we all win. Manscaped is the only way to go. Again, the code is 2MUTS to save 20% plus free shipping on Manscaped products. Now let's bring it in. Manscaped on three. 1, 2, 3.
Our NHL News and Notes segment is brought to you by Sheena Boychuk. Yes, you heard that last name right. That's Sheena Boychuk. As a licensed realtor, Sheena has you covered to buy and sell your home in this hot market. She also offers home consulting services to help you upgrade your living space. Check her website out at SheenaBoychuk.com and tell her the 2MUTS podcast sent you. Realty by Design, your design approach to real estate.
When you hire a contractor, you want things to go smooth.
Smooth as a driveway poured by Pete's Concrete.
You want a solid guarantee.
Solid as a basement floor by Pete's Concrete.
You want Pete.
Pete's Concrete. For sidewalks, patios, your leaky basement, Pete lays his reputation down with every job, and he offers you finishes and colors you won't find anywhere else.
You want someone who proudly puts their name on the work they do.
Pete puts his name in concrete.
Pete's Concrete.
All right, so let's let's transition over to the National Hockey League playoffs as they start on Saturday when this podcast gets released. So everything's all final and set. It was right down to the last game last night.
Jesus, LA, what the? It's like Vegas and LA didn't want. They obviously don't want either of them want to play the fucking Oilers.
No, it was like it was same thing over in, out east with like no one really wanting to. You know, either play the Tampa Bay Lightning, I guess you could say, or whatnot. But obviously, Florida and Boston or whatever. Boston seemed to get the good old tank job going in the last couple of games of the year. But anyways, let's start out east because that's where everything will start for us. But, you know, we'll get it. We'll do our predictions for the first round, and then we'll go right into a conference final and then our Stanley Cup picks. So that's kind of what we'll do. You know, so obviously the first one tomorrow, Carolina Hurricanes, the New York Islanders. I don't know how interesting this will be or not interesting it will be.
Boring.
Yeah, there's a huge chance it could not be a lot of excitement in this series. But, you know, Vandy, who do you have going first in this series? Who you got coming out of this one?
Well, I obviously Carolina. I mean, they're just – You don't see them a lot, but you know, and they're kind of the unforgotten. They're a lot like the team in the West Dallas, where they're just kind of a forgotten.
Yes. Forgotten. It's a great analogy, them in Dallas.
Nobody really pays attention to them. They got no superstar. I mean, they got Aho and you know, like Burns but their back end is incredible. And Anderson's been just you know, solid for them, and that's all he needs to be.
Coming back from his blood clot, right?
Right, right. So it's I mean, I got Carolina winning that series. I don't know. I would say, you know, because the Islanders got Sorokin, or I would say they win it in six, maybe seven.
Well, Villar,
maybe seven.
Did I say Sorokin?
Yeah, well, he's their starter, but Varlamov finished the season out.
Yeah,
see what if there's any kind of special, I don't know, tricks or head games or whatever is going on in that aspect with, you know, the fact that you
was Varlamov with Colorado
when they won their cup. No, Darcy Kemper. So
no. But did Varlamov ever play in Colorado?
He did play. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was with Colorado. Yeah. For quite a few years, and then you know,
they're probably kicking them. So anyway, we'll talk about that after.
Yeah. How about this though? Interesting, Corey Schwab from Saskatchewan. You know, goaltender of the goaltending coach for the Arizona Coyotes, now Utah. You know, yeah, Darcy Kemper was a goaltender with the Coyotes, won a Stanley Cup. Aiden Hill with the was also with the Arizona Coyotes, won a cup. And then look at the year that Connor Ingram had for the Arizona Coyotes. So he is the goalie whisperer, as goalie coaches go. So you definitely, he'll be going over there. So something.
John Burke used to be that. Maybe it's just about living in Phoenix and life's good and golfing and stuff.
It very, very well could be. It very well could be. Yeah, you're definitely.
Where did that name come from? Is he with the Islanders?
No, Schwab, but just I was just saying, like, just talking about the goalie theme.
Real quick. Oh, got you. Okay,
It was just on my head there. I was just thinking, you know, what a phenomenal, you know, goaltending coach he is. So, so interesting. And just the fact that, you know, Connor Ingram came back and the year he had, you know, if they, you know, when this all kind of came out, and I know we're kind of just going all over back to this.
Whatever.
But the 14-game losing streak in Arizona was like they were 2 points out of a playoff spot at the All-Star break, right? And then they went on the 14-game losing streak, and that's when they were first originally told what was going to be happening here. And imagine if that does not happen. So, and imagine if this team is not up and coming with the Cooleys and the Dones and the Dylan Gunthers and obviously Clayton Keller and all the other great players that they have there. If Ryan Smith takes this team to the city, but anyways, yeah, back to the playoffs.
Well, that's the other thing too, is like this guy, no wonder he is ecstatic.
Yeah.
Is
future's
like,
bright.
Right? It's not like you're getting an expansion team where you can George McPhee and you can manipulate all this shit and Ron Francis and all that stuff. But like, he's getting a legit young up and coming team. Yeah. Like it's good.
How
on
good is Clayton Keller? Oh my God.
Yeah, he's real good.
And Dylan Gunter, like,
real good.
How did we ever go off bait? We were just talking about the first round in the East.
I know. Sorry, that's not me. That's
what the hell just happened, Boston.
We did.
Yeah, that
we,
was on me.
Yeah,
that was
opposite field on that one.
That is definitely that is bad on me on a host.
That was like Larry Walker opposite field homer right there. Exactly. Scotty Clapp.
I had my notes here and I forgot to mention that. That's why. So,
you're the host. You can do whatever you want. Dude.
I know. I'll take the heat.
Okay. So I'm picking Carolina. Brody gave me flack for 7. I'm going to go 6.
Okay. So Carolina and 6. So, all right. Broads, who do you got?
Well, I don't think this is a conversation. I got Carolina in 5 or 6.
Okay.
Probably the best 5-on-5 team in the NHL.
Yeah.
Better everything. Yeah, they just have better. All of it is better.
And their head coach and their assistant coaches don't have any contracts for next year, so that'll be interesting to follow. I wonder if there is not a Stanley Cup parade in Carolina if the contracts don't get renewed and Rod Brind'Amour goes with his teammate in Buffalo, Craig Adams. So wonder if that's something to keep an eye on. If
Craig Adams is on the hot seat, so
yeah,
he's right. Got to pull off a fucking
next hire needs to be
Uno card here.
Yeah.
That
yeah. Anyways, but something to keep an eye on. A head coach like that with no contract next year, and we all know why. The assistant coach has got to get done first, and they have not. So, anyways. And I got Carolina in 7. I think this one goes a little bit longer.
7?
Yeah.
Why, just, guys?
I don't know. You got Patrick Wall. You got the Islanders. They kind of
– It's the first round, man.
Yeah.
Like,
it would be interesting. I don't – you know, it's hard to count against Wall.
You can't knock good goaltending, dude.
I know. At the end of the day, if Sorokin stands on his head, that's the guy
that's going
to get you there, right? So, you know, and at the end of the day, if you were to pick Sorokin over Freddie Anderson, you're probably going to pick – Sorokin in my eyes, but
he's bound to steal 1, maybe 2 games.
Yeah, it's weird because Freddie Anderson, you look at I think career wise he has the second highest winning percentage from National Hockey League goaltenders in the history.
Come on.
Yeah,
what?
Yes, in the history of the National Hockey League, he's got the
second. I guess he went from Toronto to Carolina.
Well, he's played really good. Like, he was really good in Anaheim. Well, no, he won a lot in Toronto, he won a lot in Carolina, and look where else he won when he started in Anaheim. Man, look how good Anaheim was when he got there before he left,
right?
And took over. Right. Anaheim was good, so you know, I could, yeah, he's got the pedigree for sure. So it's a goaltender that you would definitely want to, you know, probably have too, but you know, seeing the way he was.
And he's not, hey, let's be real here, boys. He ain't that great.
No.
So that tells you all about.
Well,
coaching. Yeah, he's never been awesome ever. And you said he leads the NHL in the history of the NHL. And he's an average NHL goaltender.
So he's got 295 NHL wins and 127 losses. So
it's incredible.
That's a pretty good number.
What
I think winning percentage.
I would never guess that.
A winning percentage. He has the second highest winning percentage in the National Hockey League. It's around like 7.
Well, yeah, when you're on awesome teams, that's what happens.
Correct. You got that.
I've had this argument, boys. This is so random. Being from the bubble here in St. Albert, all these dads who think they're like friggin' Jacques Lemaire and coaches. I'm like, no, you're from St. Albert, and they have an awesome program with one of the biggest, largest associations going, and you just happen to have more better players than the other coach. That doesn't make you friggin' Jacques Lemaire. It makes you from St. Albert and you coach St. Albert kids. So,
yeah. Yeah. No.
That's so random, but there you go.
No. I get it. That's exactly it, right? You get that.
It's true, man.
Like, yeah. And I mean, sure, Park is no different.
Yeah.
They've got the
same. I'm sure there's. Like, maybe the MLA coach is unbelievable. I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but.
Yeah.
Right?
He doesn't have that depth to work with.
Who is it? I think Scotty Bowman said the best coach is the one who has the most best players.
Exactly.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, along those lines.
Exactly what he said, but yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. All right. We'll move over to the next game that starts on Saturday night. The Boston Bruins versus the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I thought you would go last with this one.
We'll just follow the pattern so then I don't, so I don't go off script
again. Get it out of the way.
Exactly. So maybe should have started this first. But yeah, Bruins, Leafs. I'm going to go Toronto in 7. But
you have to.
Yeah. As a Leaf fan, yes, you have to. At the end of the day, Do I think Toronto beats them? No, it's been since like 1959 since Toronto's beat Boston. They're 0-4 against them this regular season. I think they're 0-3 or 0-4 against them last year too. We all know the playoff history in the last several years from 2013, 18, and 19. They have lost. So the history is good, but someone on that team has to take the bull by the horns here and say, no, not this year. We are destined, and we are going to exercise the demons just like you did last year. You knocked out Tampa Bay, knowing that Tampa Bay was the better team. You just got three overtime winning goals in on the road. So, but the special teams, power play, penalty kill will be the biggest difference, and obviously what Matthews and Marner do, which are point-per-game players, but they need to be a little, they need to be a bit better. This William Nylander situation did not practice today. Bobby McMahon will be out for the first little bit of this series. That's a big loss for the Leafs. And TJ Brody will be a healthy scratch in the playoffs. So he will not play. Same with Mark Giordano. He will not be playing. So
what's wrong with Giordano?
Giordano just he didn't cut the straw, cut it to get ahead. He was the odd. He was number seven, and Brody was number eight on the depth chart, and then Connor Timmins was number nine, and Cade Weber, who they just signed, they just picked him up and had a trade. He's the number 10th defenseman. So Simone Benoit will draw in the spot that
doesn't bode well, Bosco.
Is there a vortex that I just entered where TJ Brody is a fucking healthy? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, he just the last game of the year, he scored his first goal in 127 games. He did not have a great year, but he also was put in situations that he may not should have been put in. But he will be a healthy scratch come Saturday night. So
is that a fact or is that Boston?
That is a fact. Yeah, no, that's a fact. That was what the I'm going off of what the lines were at practice today and the D pairings were at practice, and he is set to be a healthy scratch. Now that
could tell me they're 16 who are playing game one.
So they got
Brody's fucking scratched.
They got Morgan and Giordano. Yeah, so they got Morgan Riley. Ilya Labushkin, Simone Benoit, Jake McCabe, Joel Edmondson, and Timothy Liljegren will be their numbers. Will be their sixth defenseman they're going to dress. Now they have 10 defensemen. They have four goaltenders. I'm assuming, you know, at the end of the day, the way I look at it, if Toronto's in a situation where they're going to their third goaltender, they're either down 3-1 or 0-3 in the series, is my guess. So, that would be my guess. So if you're
this is their third goaltender, Jones,
and then Matt Murray, who just played two good games in the American
League.
He is back. But
and what's wrong with Nylander?
Nylander, they didn't say today. So the Brad Tree Living told Sheldon Keith there'll be no comment on injuries at all. So any
no idea.
He did not practice today.
But he played the other day.
He did play.
On that shitty offside play where he was doing nothing.
So now, obviously, yeah, exactly. It was interesting this watch Overdrive today with news with Noodles, Hayes, and O-Dog. They said if William Nylander was playing injured down the stretch for meaningless games, because you already knew where you're going to play, it's a fireable offense. In the if he doesn't play in the playoffs, that is a fireable offense for Brad Tree Living.
100% is, and that's not on Keith.
1 million.
Yeah. So that is because Darren Dreger reported tonight it could be a hit injury, and then he also heard that he could have the flu. But he said, all Sheldon Keith said today for players, all players are available, and we'll see where they go. So that was it. So
there you go.
So we'll
you got the Leafs in seven.
So I got the Leafs in seven. I don't know what's going to happen in goal for Boston because they have the same situation, but they actually have two good goaltenders. I know Ulmer kind of blanked the bed in the playoffs last year, and then Swayman came in to play game seven. But Jim Montgomery, all he said is the goaltenders know what's happening, and that's all I'm going to say. And all year he's been rotating, so my guess is he might just follow the same same situation back and forth.
Nobody rotates in the playoffs.
Yeah, they typically don't. I agree with that. But he did say that, Swayman is 3-0 against Toronto this year, and Allmark has not had a really good performance in the playoffs as of late. So we'll see. He's an Allmark guy, Jim Montgomery. He's not much of a Swayman guy, but but I have the Leafs in seven. At the end of the day, if I'm not a Leaf fan, I would say Bruins in like six. So, but
there you go.
Just because, you know, recency bias, Leafs don't get her done. They find a way.
I get it.
You know, it's either the seven and there's
you're on the fence. Seven, you have no idea.
It's a pick'em at the end of the day.
So. For you, yeah, it is.
Closer, you go. Go ahead.
Well, I got kind of two schools of thought on this. One, at some point, the Leafs got to do it. And I actually kind of want them to do it. In addition to, you look at Boston's actual team, and on paper, they're not fabulous. They really aren't. But then my head kicks in and I go, it's playoffs. The Leafs have no goaltending and no defense, and the better goalie's going to win. I'm going with Boston in 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And that's probably the reality, right? They have a better goalie. They have better defense. It's probably going to happen. They're going to win. I'm going to go Boston in 6 based on goaltending alone.
Yeah. I don't blame you for that.
Sorry, Bosco. I'm sorry, pal.
There's nothing to be sorry about, my friend.
Boston 5.
Boston 5. Move on, eh? Vandy, not a brute, not cheering at all. At all.
No, it's.
Hey, so
it's,
obviously, Toronto.
I
gets
think
the
there's.
Toronto
here's my win. Thought. There's too many egos in Toronto.
Okay, so you just hired Tree Living. Probably safe to say. Shanahan and Sheldon Keefe tied together. You know, they obviously, you know, Brad Tree Living extended Sheldon Keefe, but Leafs don't get out of the first round. Sheldon Keefe, Brandon Shanahan fired, Mitch Marner traded. Like obviously you can't win if you can't win with this core of Toronto now, you're never going to beat Boston ever.
No,
never.
You're not going to beat Bosco. It's not Boston. You're not going to beat anybody. With no goaltending and no defense.
Yeah.
You're not
you have a player on your team that could get 70 goals and you don't fucking play him every second shift.
Yeah.
Like what are you doing? It's a meaningless game. Why is he, first of all, why is he even playing the game unless he's chasing 70 fucking goals?
Yeah.
And you rotate four lines?
Remember when Ryan Smith needed a goal and he basically played for like 4 minutes at a time?
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, you're
right. Wrong. I mean, look at even Kucherov. Kucherov played like back-to-back power plays and it was like 10 minutes.
Now I know our buddy.
And he finally got his assist. Yeah. Like,
but it's not Keith's fault, man, that. He has shitty defense like, and way too many good forwards who eat up buddy. Too much cap space.
No, but I don't think Keith is as good as
he's
overstayed his welcome.
Yeah, he's a good regular season coach, but our buddy Tim Peel don't like
him. Yeah, but you and I, the three of us could be good with that team in regular season.
Yeah.
Every single year, yeah.
Yeah. It's clockwork. 8 years in a row.
An hour problem, man. Right?
So second longest streak going into the playoffs. So. Yeah, we'll see. Right. I don't know. At the end of the day, like obviously, you know, we'll get to some other situations here too. But you know, I got a question for you guys that I saw on TSN's The Quiz tonight. The Ken Dryden, the Quizmaster. So, I'll pose that question to you guys later on. But yeah, I don't know. It will be. They're obviously very polarizing. They're definitely going in heavy underdogs. They've lost 4 straight going in. They've given up 5 or more goals. They've had 3 different goaltenders give up 5 or more goals going in these last 4 games.
That is not good.
You know, so the recipe isn't perfect. At the end of the day, I understand everyone starts at 0 starting tomorrow night, but you know, I don't know. There's not much confidence, but eventually you have to get over it. If you don't, then obviously, yeah, you have no choice to blow up the core. You just signed Nylander and you just signed Matthews. Tavares has 1 year left, so I can't see you bringing it back with this group. And you know, Marner's.
So they're done. Boston wins. Toronto's out.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's move over to the Battle of Florida, the fight in Florida, as Carolyn Cameron likes to say, or sorry, Ivanka Osmak was saying the other night. Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Florida Panthers. Vandy, who do you got?
Florida. I mean, I think you know, Tampa does have Vasilevsky, and you know, they still got their core, but I think at the end of the day, Florida is deeper. They're meaner. They got that grit and I'm kind of going against what I always say, experience and stuff, but I think it's Florida's time. I think Matthew Tkachuk is the X factor in that series. And, you know, you haven't really heard a lot about him this year.
Yeah.
And I think he's the X factor. I think they get it done. It's going to be, this is definitely one that's going 7. And yes. Florida. Florida's got it. So.
Yep. Closer?
I'm going Florida in seven, and I think this could be the best of any series. Right. I think it's going to be an absolute barn burner, just physical and just pure skill everywhere. Like, you think about, when's the last time you heard anything about Barkov? That guy is a fucking stud.
Yeah.
And you barely hear anything about him.
You know what's crazy?
And he's unbelievable.
When
series is going to be nuts, and it's going to be fantastic, and I will be watching every second of it.
Yep.
But I do think they both have great goalies. They both have lots of offense. They both have good D. I think Florida has a little bit better D, and I think that's what
Sergachev.
I think they'll have a little bit more grit, and I think they'll probably just end up taking it. But I think it's going seven, man.
Yeah, same here.
I agree.
Fun fact.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa Bay somehow figured it out to win, but we're doing predictions, so I'm taking Florida in seven.
Yeah.
Bosco, what do you got?
I got Lightning in seven. A fun fact about Barkov, you just said when Petro was playing with him, I don't know if Barkov still does it, but the stick at the top of the stick, you could take that little clip off and it kind of opens up like the little nub or whatever. It's like a CCM logo or Bauer logo, whatever.
Yeah, the one every game one falls out.
Correct. He actually opens that up. He fills up his stick with water. He puts water in his stick to keep.
How far out?
I don't think it's that far up, but it's probably.
Listen, dude. Yeah, there's a.
Fucking... I need to hear this. I want to hear this. Yeah, tell me more.
So he puts. I think it's like it's about like the 25% mark of water. He puts a little like. So it's not.
Can you find out? Stick. Can you get details on this?
I could for sure.
Please do.
So, yeah.
I'm interested.
I know. I'm googling. He would put
water in. Petro told me this all the time. He doesn't drink, obviously, but like. He's a different guy. Like, they had a team party at my uncle's restaurant, Central Social Hall. He's the only guy that didn't come out. But when I was asking, that was that year, they came through. And I said, what's he like? And he goes, you know what? He's an interesting guy, but it's like one of the weird things I've ever seen him do is he takes the clip off, whatever, at the top before he tapes the stick up. He fills up the stick with water because it's the stick's heavier. It's harder to push the stick off the puck, apparently, to a defender. I don't know if that makes any sense, but yeah, he put about like 25% of water in his hockey stick and play the game with it like that. So, and just go to the next stick if it breaks or whatever. So I don't know.
Is he Russian or Finnish?
He's Finnish. Yeah, he's Finnish.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So a fun little fact about him. So
that makes sense though. Like, sticks are so bloody late now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have a heavy stick. Well, yeah, he actually has a heavy stick.
And he's not a shooter.
No, he's definitely not.
Right. He doesn't need a hit point or anything like that.
Fabulous pass. Yeah. Him and Draisaitl.
Why don't you just use the wood stick then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you could, yeah.
Or you just use a stick that's 4 years old.
Yeah. Anyway.
Or six years old, whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Or you could also get a stick that's just heavier, regardless. Get them to specially make you one that way.
Yeah. I feel like they could do that.
Yeah. He might, that's obviously a 2016-17 season he was doing that, so I don't know what he's doing now.
Hey, listen.
But I'm going to look into
it. Would it not freeze?
Yeah. I don't think so, you know. It might as the game goes on, so I don't know how many times he's intertwined.
I probably just sounded like an idiot saying it's composite, and it's not that cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like you're playing at Russ. Yeah, you're probably not playing at like Russ Martin's Arena.
No, exactly. No. Anyways, I thought
that was pretty bad, Mandy. I'm not gonna lie.
Nah, no, it was
stupid. not editing that out. So.
Don't.
All right, let's move over to the Capitals versus the Rangers. Obviously, the Rangers winning the President's Trophy there. So obviously, maybe that curse will be beaten, but. Closer, we'll go to you first on this one. Who do you have, Caps, Rangers?
Well, we're lingering on. We're not even in the West yet, so I'm going Rangers in three. Move on. Next.
There you go. Rangers in three. You're doing the PJ Stock.
There you go.
Years ago, Stock did that a couple years ago when he was Hockey Night in Canada. Okay.
But reality, it's not close. Rangers.
Minus 37 goal differential for the Caps.
Yeah, it's over. So, it's not close. Maybe Michael five or Michael six, but whatever. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not a close series at the end of the day.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Jeff O'Neill, Ryan Hayes made a $500 bet on TSN today. That if the Caps win one game, Brian Hayes gets $500.
So that's a good deal for Hayes. Yeah. They got to win one.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, one game. That's all you got to do is win
one. It's the first round.
Yeah.
They got to win one. Just a random game.
I'm a hot goalie. You know, obviously, you know, Mitch Love, Spencer Carberry, friends of the pod. So I'm just going to go. I know they're not going to do it, but it's just for our boys there, I'm going to pick the Caps in an upset here. There has to be three upsets, but whatever. I'll say Caps in seven and upset. Bandy, go ahead.
No, and I mean a mutt's bark to Mitch Love and the staff and what they did, and I mean to Ovi, but I'm sorry, you're outmatched, you're outweighted. It's Rangers five because there aren't many sweeps in the first round. So
no, usually not, right?
It's Rangers five. Move on.
All right, moving on. All right, let's get to the West. The Canucks versus the Preds. I'll go first on this one. I'm going to say Canucks in seven in this one. The Preds did come on as of late. They got a pretty deep team. They're well-structured. Burnett's a great coach. But the Canucks have had a pretty good year. So Demko's back. He's played the last two games. So I'm going to go Canucks in seven here. Vandy, your thoughts?
I'm going Preds. Preds seven, let's say. They're a big, heavy team. And the Preds we don't see a lot of. They're like the forgotten child kind of thing. But they've come on as of late. They've got that core group and that tightness of a good team. So yeah, I'm going Preds. Vancouver, I think, is just lack a little bit of that experience. You got the Ryan O'Reilly, the factor, fact daddy, whatever everybody calls him. But
yeah,
I think you're gonna see Vancouver's gonna get a little bit of a ooh, this is what playoffs is like, right?
Yeah.
And you're going against Tocchet, who's more than likely gonna win the Jack Adams. So
yeah, I would agree with that. He's had a pretty good year. Closer, your thoughts on this series?
Go on Preds in six or seven. And the reason, just like Vandy, is experience. Vancouver doesn't have it. It takes years to get it. And yes, they're awesome, but do you think that back end in Vancouver has ever done this before? Nope. They're gonna go into battle. They're going to try their best. And at the end of the day, they're going to come out with a little bit of experience and growth and be better for it next year. But I just don't think they have it based on experience alone. And well, not alone, that in addition to Nashville has been buzzing, right? They've been going since the trade deadline and not only have they been going since the trade deadline, they've been going since the trade deadline after trading away good players when nobody had any expectations of them. So right. I think they're going to beat them just based on the fact that they're big, strong, heavy, experienced against. What is this about?
Well, maybe the Canucks are a year ahead of schedule, right? So,
yeah,
you know, you could argue that a bit, you know, maybe just a bit ahead of schedule and, you know, maybe they face some adversity here, right? So,
then add in that with the video I sent
you. I was just going to say, DJ here, Jigs.
Yeah.
They need to lose. They need to lose right away.
What did Biz say? That was that might be detrimental.
Yeah.
I sent that to Biz. He gave me a thumbs up after Brody sent that to me. So,
that was funny.
That was hilarious. A YouTube video that was on the internet there. But
listen, Cadence did the Connor McDavid song.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good. That song's bad.
My wife's cousin. Easy.
No. Connor McDavid song was good.
Oh, okay.
These guys did is not very good.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Yeah. No, the Cadence, that song is incredible. Yeah. Like, that's played every.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like, it's still played. U18 kids still play it for
Carmel. Oh, that's awesome. Good to hear.
There you go. All right. So that's what we have there.
What do you got, Bosco?
I opened it up with Preds in seven.
Seven, Red Wine score on Friday night. Yeah. Great week. Sorry.
All right. Let's move over to the Jets versus the Avalanche. Vandy, your thoughts on this series?
Ooh. Yeah, exactly, bro. It's like, it's the pick this, this is going to be of the West. This will be like the fight in Florida. This will be whatever the fight for, whatever. But I'm going Avs. I just think McKinnon's on a different level, and I don't think the Jets have the defense to stop that attack. I think McKinnon is just, I'm not saying he's going to lead it right to the Stanley Cup, but McKinnon's on a whole different wavelength. Like, he's at the point in his career where he can take over a game, take over a series. And the Jets just flat out, I don't think they have anybody that can stop him on the back end. So I'm going, I'll go Avs and six.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's hard to go against that. I would say, obviously, Tyler Toffoli, friend of the pod, on the Jets. Sean Monahan, the only player this year to play 83 games. This guy was injury bugged. Obviously, played the extra game because he got traded from Montreal.
No shit.
Yeah, so he got the extra game. Obviously, it's an 82-game schedule, but he got game number 83. So yeah, I got a lot of likes on that. I posted that on the Instagram account, so got a lot of likes to that. Just great to see him back, but just the way the Avs play, the pace, the way they practice, just they come at you at waves. The only thing that questions for me is Gorgiev has not been the same goaltender in the last month and a half. I would say Connor Hellebuyck, if not the, is the best goaltender in the National Hockey League, one of the best. So I'm going to go, and the Jets were 4-0 against them, the Avs this year. They pumped their tires. Colorado's the best home team. They got their worst loss, 7-0 against the Jets at Ball Arena. That's a tough one. Pick them, but I'm going to go Jets in seven. My dad was from Winnipeg. He's a big Jets fan. That's my father.
Well, there you go. So, and you got to go with the Jets.
Dude. Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Jets. Tyler Toffoli, my father, all that. So Jets in seven. Closer, your thoughts.
Well, we talked about Toronto. We talked about Boston. Talked about goaltending. I'm going Winnipeg in seven, based on goaltending alone.
Yeah.
Even though Colorado has clearly the better team.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, goaltending matters, and goaltending is what does it. Georgiev is terrible as far as National Hockey League goalies go, so he's still unbelievable.
Yeah.
But he ain't. Hellebuck's going to do it, and it'll be an ugly, boring series, I think, because Winnipeg's just going to trap and be ugly and mean, and every whistle they're going to be in their faces. And
Adam Lowry's going to do his thing and all
that. Yeah, really? I don't think it's going to – you think they're going to trap it down? I guess that would be the only way you could probably slow down Colorado. But
well, these goaltenders are 1-2. Right?
You look at their back end, Makar, Taves, Girard. Like, that's
– but how do you slow that down?
You sit in the neutral zone and you make them chip it in, and then you let
– But then you got a bulldog. You got a bulldog like Nate coming at you, hitting you every
– Yeah.
You sit back in the neutral zone, you make them dump it in, or that's it. Let Hellebuyck take care of the rest. I'm going Hellebuyck and the Winnipeg Jets in six, not even seven. I'm going in six.
Six. All right. There you go. Okay, let's move
on. And I think it'll be a super boring series where we just watch the highlights and see the results. That's it.
That's it, eh?
Which is crazy to think when you have Colorado, who's super exciting. And
I think that's going to be the most exciting series.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking forward to this one. Dallas Stars versus the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll see how many Vegas Golden Knights come back from this crazy return of injury. if everyone's there, they're out with a lot of players last night. So we'll see if how many guys are ready for game one. But, Dallas Stars, they probably don't get enough love. Obviously, Vernon Fiddler is there. That's our boy, too. But, it's hard to count them out. They got two first lines. Stankoven, Jamie Benn, Wyatt Johnson on that third line. They're just so good. Jake Ottinger and Nett. I don't think there's a repeat, so I'm gonna go Stars and seven in this one. Closer, your thoughts?
I'm going Stars and five.
Stars and five. All right.
The reason I say that is I think Vegas will be, I don't want to say rusty, but collectively as a group, they haven't played enough games together. Healthy to know, like, here's what we're doing, here's how it's happening, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
I think they do have awesome. They have an amazing amount of depth, but I don't think they're going to be ready to roll collectively as a group. And Dallas is just awesome. Most underrated team. Them in Carolina, like we talked about, whatever that was, an hour ago, 45 minutes ago. They're deep. They're good. They're awesome. Nobody's talking about them, and they're going to pound them. And we're going to say, see you later, Vegas. Fabulous news for the Oilers. Move on. In five.
In five. All right. Vandy, your thoughts.
Dallas 7. I think it's going to take Dallas a little bit of time to you know, they had obviously a fantastic regular season, but I think it's going to take a little bit of time for Ben to rein in these kids, Stankov and Wyatt Johnson, and Dallas, really, when you think about it, they don't have a lot of experience past first round, second round, and Vegas, in a sense, Vegas, that'll get Vegas 2, maybe 3 wins. So I'm going to go Dallas. They're eventually going to overcome it. Dallas will move on. It'll be 7 games. But again, I think it'll take them a while to get going and shake the nerves and realize that it is just another game. But I mean, remember when we were talking about Stankoven at the World Juniors and like this kid is, he's like your prototypical French or like a French bulldog or bulldog, right? Where he's just that ball of brick where he just goes after Dallas and 7.
5 foot nothing.
Right. Dallas and 7. And this is another series I want to watch too. But I mean, we got to look at why did they bring in Hanifin?
Yep.
There's something really wrong with Pietrangelo.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to be able to go in the first round. Now, he could wheelchair cast, pop up, and come in again, but I don't know. I truly believe I don't think he's going to play in the first round.
Yeah, that'll be there's no word on him at all from what I understand. So
nothing, right?
Still got a pretty good defense core there, but both Hanifin were out in that last game.
So does Dallas, though. So.
Yes, Dallas has
Heiskin is unbelievable.
Yeah, Heiskin is
unbelievable.
Lindell and they're loaded, and obviously Suter on the back end. So definitely interesting to see. All right, the last but not least, the LA Kings versus the Edmonton Oilers. Third year in a row that these guys will meet. Oilers are going to see 3 different goaltenders from the LA Kings, and obviously the first time they played was Quick, and then Jonas Korpisalo. Now they got their former teammate Cam Talbot on the other end. It's been an interesting year for Cam Talbot, up and down. Obviously, LA fired their coach. Oilers did the same thing too. Both teams were floundering, and they're in the playoffs. Obviously, the Oilers are a big threat, big heavy favorite. This is going to be a tough one for LA. The difference maker in this series, if LA wins this series, we will talk about LA winning this series if Pierre-Luc Dubois shows up. He's had a horrible season to date. I'll just be honest. He's not had a season that you would want, but he has a chance to re-rate all of that in the playoffs, and that could be the X factor in the series. Quentin Byfield finally got off the schneid with a goal. He actually got a $212,000 bonus for that goal the other night, to getting his 20th goal. So, but he had not scored in 17 games going in. The LA Kings don't score at the end of the day, but Victor Arvidsson was obviously a player that was hurt during these series before. He could help them out too. They're not as deep as the Oilers are for sure. But I'd be very surprised if the Kings win. The only way the Kings win is if the Oilers defense is floundering. And if you guys, I'm sure you guys have noticed this, CC and Nurse have got the lesser matchups. They are actually paired to being the third pair on the Oilers.
They settle down third pair, second pair.
They are the third pair. If you go back and look at it, they are the third pair in the last 10 games. The matchups they've been getting are third pair matchups. So
is that fact, Bosco?
It is. I'm not joking. And if you don't believe me, listen to Alex Freeman's podcast a couple of days ago. He also talked about it on his podcast too. He had someone reach out to him, and they've been utilized as the third pair in the last, I think it was 10 games. So Kulak and Desharnais have been getting that second pair of matchups. But, you know, I still think the Oilers win, and I don't know if it's as close as we want to think it is, just because this is a year of destiny for the Oilers in my eyes, in a way looking at it. It's kind of hard to believe that it would not be, but the only way is Stuart Skinner's numbers in the playoffs are not that great, guys, either. So he's allowed 4 goals per game. His save percentage is around 850-something. And so overall, but this is a different Stuart Skinner in my eyes. He took the reins this year when Jack Campbell was sent down. And he obviously finished third in wins this year with 36. So I say Oilers in 5. So closer, your thoughts.
Well, my brain tells me the Oilers, but it's pretty hard to beat a team 3 years in a row, is it not? Like, that seems crazy to me.
It
that
does.
You'd be able to do that. But I am from Edmonton or St. Albert here, so they're a better team. I think they're going to win in 6, and I think it's going to be so boring. And I can't fathom, if you're not an Oilers fan watching this series, you're going to say this is like watching paint dry. It's going to be horrific.
1-3-1 all day long.
The old 1-3-1, dump it in the corner, chip it in, chip it out, chip it in, chip it out. Lots of 3-2 wins, you know, maybe 4-2 empty netters type of thing, maybe 2-1s. It's going to be so boring, but the Oilers will get it done in 6, I'm going to go. Oilers in 6.
Oilers in 6, okay. Vandy, your thoughts?
To me, until, you know, I think Skinner took a step this year, but I think the goalies are a wash.
That's fair.
You know,
I like that.
And at the end of the day, it's going to be a special teams series, obviously, with Edmonton's power play. Look, at the end of the day, the Kings have that experience. They don't have the depth. This is the deepest Oilers team we've seen in, what, 5 years, 6 years?
That's a long damn time.
Be longer than that, right? So
right, even longer. And we're coming on to, we got to make a serious, and not just a, you know, get to the conference, get swept or lose in 5. It's got to be, we got to make a run or start making a run. And I think that starts with your leadership core. And I think this leadership core, and we've talked about it before on the pod, I think they've taken that next step, and I believe we're going to see. I mean, I think Monday's going to be a blowout, to be honest with you. And the Oilers are going to win in 5. We're going to disperse of the Kings and move on to probably, you know, Nashville, and they're, you know, they're going to have to learn to play in those hostile environments. I don't, LA's probably not like that hostile, but yeah, we're, Edmonton in 5, Oil 5.
All right. Okay.
God, I hope you're right.
Okay. Well,
hey, I got random Oilers stuff for you boys.
Yep.
Can you tell me once this season, just once, where you're like, holy shit, Kulak and CC were terrible? Or, cool, no, I'm going to do you one more. Can you tell me once this season where you thought Kulak and CC were anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's beautiful. If you don't notice them, that's steady, a perfect
steady 5-6
pairing. Or right? According to Bosco, exactly. 3-4 pairing.
Yeah. Right, you're just
steady on the rudder, right? So I think exactly. What does CC have? CC
that's
has
fabulous news.
CC has 5 goals in his last 9 games.
Yeah,
whatever. I'm not even looking. CC, yeah. If he doesn't score, I don't give a shit.
No, I know.
Who cares?
If he doesn't get scored on,
like the biggest thing that you would say is, "Where's Darnell? Is Darnell Nurse going to be the Darnell Nurse that is worth the 9.25 million, or is he going to be on the other end of it?" Right? It's like,
yeah.
You know, that's the only thing is.
Yeah, but if Darnell Nurse is indeed getting third line matchups, is that that's a pretty fucking good problem?
Pretty good problem.
Probably is. You know, the LA's built down the middle. You know, you got Copa.
100% there.
You got Deneau.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, Deneau scares the shit out of me because he's a playoff performer.
Why you shut guys
Dubois, down? I think He is an X factor, though. He is. I mean, he could
be for sure.
A kid like that could get hot, boom, and then fuck. He got 9 goals and LA.
He's
beat us. Not.
He's a. He ain't showing up in the playoffs.
1,000,000%. I agree.
Yeah, I remember being in the press box in Calgary. I was in the press box in Calgary. Like I said before, my seat is. The last is right where the scouts are, so I'm the last media guy, and it's all scouts. And I remember, I'm not going to name the scout, not obviously the team he plays for, but I was talking to this scout about Pierre-Luc Dubois, and he wasn't even playing that night. That team wasn't there, but I was just asking about him in the intermission, and he a couple of years ago, his job was to watch Pierre-Luc Dubois all year because he was coming up.
No shit.
Yeah, so he followed him throughout pretty much the whole year, 6 months. And
give me that job.
Yeah, yes.
Tell me. I want to know what his opinion was.
Yeah. But so I asked him. I was like, how is it going? How's scouting going? And yeah, he's like, yeah, you know what? I was like, have you ever had is it a group of players? All that. He's like, well, obviously you're out there, you're watching everyone, but you know, you get told what your GM tells you what you're supposed to do. So you're getting your direct orders. And he just said, yeah, like the whole year, 6 months. My job was to watch this guy play everywhere pretty much he went.
He said
at the end of the year, I said, well, what was it? Was it?
I'd watch him warm up.
Was it yes or no? He goes, man, I don't know how many times I would sit there and be like, did he play tonight? Or then I would see him as like, okay, he did play tonight. And I said, well, what was the verdict? Obviously, there was a sign and trade to like, so your whole job was to see if you would get to free agency. Maybe you guys could sign him. And I said, what did you have to go back with? And I said, I told my GM, not interested. And that was how it was. So he was the most frustrated. He said he was the most frustrating player to watch on a nightly basis. Yeah. So that's
from an NHL scout.
So
you, Bosco, you've seen it, bro. You've seen these kids. And I've coached kids who are just like, oh, tonight's the night. And then it doesn't happen. Tonight's the night. Today's the day.
It's the fourth
that kind of thing. And you're like, fuck.
And you know what else, boys? I got, as a father of a 5'8", 47-year-old, of a father whose kids who both play hockey, who that's what they're going to be in life, I take a great offense to watching somebody who's 6'3".
Right.
I don't know how big he is, but he's a big-ass man.
Yep.
With extreme talent, like 1% talent in the world,
yeah,
who just floats through an NHL career, right? He could be. I watch these kids at 14. I'm like, man, you should be the best fucking player on the ice every single game, but your give a fuck level is about 2%. Pierre-Luc Dubois is that player.
Yeah,
it's him and Kirby Doc. Yeah, they're the same.
They are. Yeah.
They're huge, talented, but their give a fuck level is way down here.
Yeah, it's not there at all. So,
and it frustrates the. I'm getting angry right now. My 5'8" frame is getting pretty angry right now. Yeah.
I could tell. Yeah. No, I was blown away by that. We were just sitting there having some having an iced tea and some popcorn, and you know, just kind of picking his brain and intermission time. And, you know, so it's kind of interesting to, you know, see. I think what happened is like, cause there's TVs bias. So there are obviously some other games going on. So I was just like, hey, Dubois, and I just like, he's obviously a polarizing guy. So it's nice to just sit there and ask him. And so yeah, honest opinion, didn't hold back, told me some good stories about it. But then, yeah, I just said at the end of the day, not interested. That's how you tell the GM. You just,
oh my God.
Right back, like, not interested. And that's the email. And
That's and how – so probably a dumb, maybe even rhetorical question. How does a guy like that get in – first of all, into the NHL, drafted? I mean, is it
– it might go back to what
Brody – is it
– well, it might go back to what Closer said on just the size, right?
It is, like for sure.
Like the size –
and you can – and
you're
hoping –
speed is
can,
there and everything, right? There's the
– you're hoping you can teach – Or work with them? Is that what it
you
is?
You keep seeing these flashes of a 6 foot
but
three.
If they're having meetings center, with these kids at 14, 15, 16, 17, you're telling me not one fucking guy can in your scouting staff can like figure this shit out and go, No, this fucking dude is...
Well, he wanted out of Columbus, and then he wanted to go to Montreal when he was in Columbus, and then he went to Winnipeg, where his dad was an assistant coach, and didn't want to be there either, so...
Oh, and then, dad was involved in hockey.
Yeah, his dad's... Well, his dad was the assistant coach for the Manitoba Moose, which are obviously in Manitoba, and...
So it's not...
By the same organization as the Winnipeg Jets, obviously, so... So, yeah, that, like...
You know, it's like Galchenyuk boys, or you just see this giant human who's insanely talented.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll give him a shot. Yeah. We can get him going. All he has to do is work hard. He's the best player on the ice. Well, it's not really how it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Galchenyuk, watch. I noticed, well, you must notice this, Clay. You watch a couple kids over the years. You know, you watch them 59 times a year. And those 7 games a year, you're like, oh my God, you're the best player on this. You're incredible. But the other, whatever, say 52 games in the year, you're like, oh my God, you're bad. But those 7 games, you're the best player on the ice. Like,
you
want to take a chance. You're taking a chance on a kid because you're 6'2" and you're giant and you have all this talent over the 5'7" guy or 5'9" guy who works hard and isn't quite as talented, or the 6-foot guy who wasn't quite as talented. Just because you think, he's got to be able to figure this out.
Yeah.
He has everything.
Great point.
Oh, hold on.
But he doesn't.
Yeah. All right. So Will McNeil sent his picks in. He is probably the number one fan of our podcast. Would you say, Vandy?
First of all, the background on Will. Will's straight up, like, I've asked Will to join my bench staff.
Yeah.
With our kids at U18 or U15. And he's like, I will, but I don't, you know, I never played hockey. He's a soccer player through and through. He grew up with all my soccer buddies and stuff. But
what's his name?
Will McNeil.
Well, of course he's a soccer player. His name's fucking Billy McNeil.
Right.
Scottish. Yeah. He's from Glasgow, for Christ's sakes, bro.
His kid, my kid, they're good buddies, and they grew up in Millwoods together. They're both 08. So Liam, his son, played on our he plays on our inline team this year. And yeah, so anyway, Will, I'm surprised he even knows the names of the teams.
Well, I asked him earlier today because I was like, you know, he's the number one fan of the
league. He's a sports fan through.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? So he took some time. He sent them in. I think he said he wanted a little bit more time because we're also going to transition after this to our conference final and our Stanley Cup winner. But
should call him.
Will McNeil. Yeah. No, I guess they could cold call him, right? But West. So obviously, West, he has Vegas in 5. Then he has Winnipeg in 7, and then he has the Canucks in 6. He has the Oilers in 7, so that's where he has those. And then he has the Lightning in 6. He has the Leafs in 6. He has the...
Oh, that's why you're fucking... You love him.
Yeah, of course you're reading his, though.
He has the New York Rangers in 4, and then he has the Carolina Hurricanes in 5. So,
Not bad.
Well, upset.
He didn't pick Juventus to win this Stanley Cup.
He did put that in. Yeah, he did put that in. Yeah.
Glasgow Rangers. They're winning it.
Yeah. There you go.
That is hilarious. Celtics, hey?
Yeah, right. So.
The Catholic or Protestant? What is he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ask him. So,
we don't talk about religion.
Yeah, no, we do actually. So
that's a soccer thing.
Yeah,
Celtic is Catholic, Rangers are Protestant. Just saying.
So let's get to our conference final and our Stanley Cup winner. So I'll, Vandy, give us your conference final, for the West and the East, and then your Stanley Cup winner.
Dallas Oil. Dallas wins. Florida. Yeah, Florida, Carolina, Florida wins, Dallas, Florida final, Dallas final wins.
All right. Closer?
We're close, Clay. We're close. Dallas and Edmonton, and Dallas wins, sadly. Carolina and Florida, and Carolina wins.
All righty.
Yeah.
Okay, I got obviously the same. I got the Oilers in the Stars in the conference final, but I got the Oilers winning in 7.
Over
them. They got to get to a cup final. And then out east, I got the New York Rangers the New York Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah, I think we can have that matchup. So,
yeah.
And then, no, I actually think that won't be. No, that would not be.
Come on, man. Prepare yourself. Yes.
For these. It'll be Florida Bruins.
Yes. I have it written down. I'm reading it wrong, though. I wrote it down wrong. That's what it is. Yeah, anyways, I got the Rangers. I got the Rangers and the Oilers in the Stanley Cup final. And I got
that'd be sick too.
I got the New York Rangers winning in seven. So
fuck, you're all about ratings, aren't you?
Oilers Rangers would be pretty sick.
That would be incredible.
Yeah, I got they've had some good games in the past, that's why, right? So look at all those games they've had in the last several years, that great goal by Connor. So
Dallas is way too deep, dude.
Dallas is a wagon.
Yeah.
What did Canall? Let's hear Canall.
He didn't give anything.
What about Rupp?
Rupp did give his. But yeah, Rupper has Avs, Oilers, Conference Final, Panthers, Hurricanes, and then in his Stanley Cup final, he has Avs, Panthers, and then he has a rematch of the 96 final, Avs winning the Stanley Cup again.
You know what, boys? We're collectively pretty close.
Yes. Yeah.
A couple teams here and there, but for the most part, it's pretty linear. Close. It's pretty good.
What's Rupper's hard on with the Avs? Fuck.
They're just really good.
Yeah. friend of the pod, Craig Button, has he has the Leafs going to the second round against Florida, and then he has the Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes in the second round too, and then he has in the conference final Florida and Carolina, and then he has the Panthers going on to represent the East, and then out west he has the Canucks and Oilers in the second round, and then Dallas, Winnipeg, and then in the conference final Dallas and Edmonton, and then Dallas going on to face the Florida Panthers. But he has the Florida Panthers winning the Stanley Cup.
There you go. He's the same as us, give or take.
Yeah. So pretty much everyone's following that.
And we're all going to be fucking wrong.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Craig said. So he's like, well, I'll be wrong. He goes,
Fucking Islanders winning.
Islanders and Vancouver in the final.
All right. The last question.
Midstream.
Last question before we go. I'll just first credit this. I've taken this from TSN's The Quiz tonight, the last quiz of the year. A friend of the pod, James Duthie, hosting that. And the Quizmaster, a.k.a. Steve Dryden, who I met, is an amazing person, too.
Are you supposed to say his name?
Yeah, you could say his name, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, so I thought I ordered him 2 years ago, but when I actually first met him was during that Helenka Gretzky Cup back in the day, and the World Juniors was in Edmonton at the same time. But yeah, when I went for breakfast with the Bob Father there, we were walking up to the arena, and he's like, "This is the Quizmaster." And I was like,
what? No shit.
Yeah, he's so, yeah.
So Bob outed him.
Bob goes, this is the Quizmaster. So it was funny because Connor Bernard scored a sick goal against Finland. So I took my niece and nephew. There's that famous picture of us wearing the Jeff O'Neill t-shirt. Yeah. So we were walking up and I said, hey, Quizmaster. And he's like, you can't say that out loud. So because there was a bunch of fans in the arena, right? So, but but anyways, yeah, Steve Dryden's his name. It's just no one knows what he looks like, I guess, unless you find out that. But anyways, so yeah, great person. But he posed the question to the panel tonight, and I'll send that out to you guys. One of them was, and this is the only one we can get into, is the true or false, is there pressure on Connor McDavid to bring the Stanley Cup home to Edmonton this year, Vandy?
Oh, the most pressure.
Yeah.
Right, his
buddy right next door, number 29, is up for a contract soon, way too soon, sadly. Well, but he
could sign his extension this July 1st for Leon.
Yeah. Johnson, with Mitch if they Martin. Go in the first, second round, he ain't doing that, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
There is a ton of pressure on Connor McDavid, probably the most in the NHL, to be honest. Yeah.
And that was the kind of how the question was phrased. Out of all the players in the playoffs, who faces the most pressure? And they just choose him.
But the good news is he's Connor McDavid and he's able to step up to that, not only step up to it, but dummy it.
So the Mike Johnson, So Jeff O'Neill said true. Darren Dreger said true. Mike Johnson said false because he's like, if the Oilers don't come out of the don't win the Stanley Cup, get limited in the first round and the second round, we definitely know it will not be Connor McDavid's fault because we know what he can do in the playoffs.
Won't be his fault.
It won't be his fault. He said it would be the way the team was constructed around him. So he wouldn't put the blame on him. And he said there's no pressure because at the end of the day, he's going to be doing everything that he can to win. And obviously, same with Leon Draisaitl. Vandy, you haven't really said much there. So kind of just.
I don't think that I agree with MJ, as they call him on NHL Network. There's no pressure on Connor. What? It's just going to be another. No. I mean, what's Leon going to do? If Leon leaves, Leon's staying here. But
even if they get
eliminated in the first round? It's going to be a Sid Gino. There's no way fucking Leon is leaving.
So say, you know, closer to 20 minutes ago, talked about it's pretty hard to beat a team 3 years in a row. I also can oppose. I'll say the same thing for Jim Montgomery, like probably one of the best coaches. Like, do you think Jim Montgomery is going to get outed in the first round 2 years in a row? I know it's 2 years in a row versus 3 years.
No, and that's
but like that's why I have a hard time believing.
That was Boston. One of the notes I had was Toronto needs to get past Boston, but Boston needs to get over that first round hump.
Yeah,
it's no different. Look, at the end of the day, Edmonton's going to make the conference final again. It's just. They're going to run into Dallas, in my opinion. Now, shit's going to go sideways. We all know that.
But at the end
of the day, there's no pressure on Connor.
Yeah.
Connor doesn't. Hold Connor's Connor. Yeah. This is the deepest team. It's up to these kids, and it's up to Chris Knobloch on how he uses Connor, Leon, Hyman. You know, okay, Hyman, you 53 goals. That's cute. What are you going to do for us in the playoffs? Yeah. And Hyman, at the end of the day, man-to-man, Hyman knows that.
Yep.
And Hyman's got to come through. Evander Kane, Corey Perry, Carrick, Adam Henrique.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a deep team. We've got probably eight legit NHL players on a roster where we've been going to the playoffs and we're going, fuck the fuck. You know, now is Holloway even going to crack this lineup? You performed well, and it's going to be great to see him in the playoffs, get a taste. McLeod, same thing, get a taste. But at the end of the day, I don't know if we'll be able to get over that hump of the Dallas might be our roadblock. And same thing, remember late 90s, early 2000s, and we finally got over it, beat Dallas, and then you get there, and, you know, and then 2006 happens out of nowhere. I think it's going to be like that, and that's how Edmonton will get there. It's not going to be this year, so or their fans.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't think there's any pressure on Connor. No pressure as normal. I mean, what else does he have to prove? Yeah. He's going to go out there and probably get 20, 30 points.
He has to prove he can win a goddamn Stanley Cup because that's what generational players do.
But that's his own personal pressure.
Don't think that's an outside pressure?
Well, that's
no, I don't think a kid like Connor, guys like Connor, McKinnon, Crosby, like the elite athletes of their sport, I don't think they pay attention to the outside noise. I don't think
that's
they worry
fair,
about,
actually.
I don't
that's
think
fair.
They worry about that shit. I think they legit.
And I wouldn't disagree with that.
They probably put more pressure
Matthews,
on themselves. Like, than
think about
they can
what Austin Matthews goes through. Mitch Marner, for that matter, he's a hometown kid.
But Mitch Marner puts more pressure on himself if you listen to
correct. Them. And like they all compared do. To, compared you have to if you're compared to if Austin you're an elite Matthews. Athlete, you're putting pressure on yourself.
You are for sure. My thing is, I've been saying
I don't think they're worrying about the media.
Yeah,
and they're
definitely not worrying about media.
Definitely Mitch Marner is. I'll say that. You watch any of his press conferences, it's always him against the world, and that's him though. Like he's a guy that, like, there are guys that legit listen and read everything that is clipped and said about them. That's just how.
If I was Mitch Marner, I'd be worried about his dad more than the media.
Yeah. probably right on that. So, I look at it like, you know, Jeff O'Neill said on the pod during this segment and this question, he goes, players like this win. So yes, there's pressure because players like this at the end of the day win. So Mike Johnson pretty much was almost quote for quote in a way weird saying it. MJ was almost saying the same thing you were saying, Mandy, though. You know, there's probably like no individual pressure if that's kind of what you're kind of saying. Like,
yeah,
maybe you might, but it was interesting. It was an interesting part of the segment. Like I, you know, you'll see it on SportsCenter tonight. They usually replay those throughout SportsCenter. It's just obviously it was on their playoff preview show, but yeah, it's and they have a lot of like Darren Dreger and Jeff O'Neill have the Oilers winning the Stanley Cup. You know, Jamie McLennan has the New York Rangers winning it, and I think MJ has Carolina Hurricanes, but Dreger and Jeff O'Neill had the Edmonton Oilers winning the Stanley Cup.
Hey, right. Let's go.
Golf clap to Gary Bettman because he's made this league into what it is now. Best year, and the fucking parody.
I think it's been the best National Hockey League has ever had. You know, and I think guys like Pat Maffey and those kind of
players. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Putting an extra.
But light listen, on you game. Got Kucherov, 143 fucking points.
First winger to get 100 assists.
Right.
Like, you know,
and
this is another
McDavid. Thing. Like, the league is in such a good place.
And what I'll say this about McDavid, you know, he's the only player in the National Hockey League that last year can go 64 goals and then the following year have 100 assists. He's the only player in the NHL. The only player. There's no one else.
Right.
Can do it.
What do you want me to do?
100%. So,
you want me to work on passing?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll work on passing. Yeah,
obviously, it's unreal that what he can do and what he has done in his.
Oh, and even Matthews, like I'm still fucking miffed at fucking Keith for not fucking playing because I picked.
Yeah.
Matthews to get 70. Yeah, but it
you
was
guys
one
actually
goal.
Looked at the 6-4 goal that night against Tampa. Tavares took a lot of heat, so.
He
got the 6-4 goal and he took a slap shot.
Oh, shit.
When he should have just put it to Matthews tape and just got him to score it, but he just ripped.
Agreed.
So he was taking.
And it would have won me $100.
Yeah, he was taking some heat for fucking that. Anyway. Yeah, at the end of the day, obviously Toronto's success is going to be based on their forecourt. I don't really worry about Morgan Riley. Morgan Riley, your twin brother, Vandy. He performs in the playoffs.
He's got a strong jaw.
Yeah, he performs in the playoffs. He does a really good job, so I'm not too worried about there. You know, the goaltending is a question mark. At the end of the day, the goaltending might be a question mark in Boston. You know, there's probably not a lot.
What? Of fuck off. A question in Boston.
Jesus.
In the way they were in the playoffs, though, right? Like,
no.
I'm not saying
the last thing their problem is the goaltending.
Yeah.
They have 1A, 1B.
They do. I'm not saying bad about them. I'm just saying like that was a part of that what ruined them in the playoffs last year. You know, like you started as goaltender 6 games in a row, and then you started your backup in Game 7, the most critical game of the series. Maybe you shouldn't have done that. I don't know. Like, you know, that's.
I don't know. I've said it a million times on this podcast. Why do teams have to go with so many fucking kids playing hockey, and why do you have to go with a starter? Why can't you go 1A, 1B? And Boston's proving it. And why deviate?
I'll be very fast.
See what they do. It'll be interesting to watch.
If they go back and forth in the playoffs,
that'd be unbelievable.
Very interesting.
So. And they probably should, right? The way it's
and here's, like when Ruff and I were coaching.
The travel will be great out east. You look at the travel at all those teams.
Yeah.
There's no right. travel, hardly any at all.
And they're both good. No.
Yes.
Play them.
Yeah, go ahead. You were going to say.
No, nothing. I said when Ruff and I were coaching, we won a city championship where our starter, you know, you have your starter, went in first game, let in 3 goals, and we're like, fuck. And as a head coach, you're like, shit, I got to pull him. And we put our backup, starter quotations, and the starter stood on his, or the backup stood on his head. We ended up winning the game in a shootout, ended up winning cities. And like, fuck. I'm like, why do you have to go starter, backup? Why can't you rotate? I get it, money and all that shit. Why can't you go 41-41? Like, there's so many good goalies out there, right? There's only two positions on a team.
Correct.
Why can't you go? And injuries and stuff, you want to have a... But, like, 41-41, why do you need... And I get it, mindset, elite athlete, all that other bullshit, but, like, go 41-41 and then rotate all the way through.
Yeah.
Give teams different looks. Anyway, what do I know? I'm in the basement of my wife's house.
Exactly. Eh? There you go. All right. Let's finish up on that. Anything else you guys want to add before we sign out?
No.
No? Okay. All right. So, okay. Perfect. Brody? Rhodes? Froze.
No, the St. Albert internet kicked out. Froze
up right at the right time. So, all right. Okay, let's finish up.
Fuck
on
you.
That. Everyone, enjoy the playoffs. We'll chat very soon. Vandy, you take care, eh?
You too, pal. I love you.
Love it too. Bye.
Bye.
Our NHL news and notes segment is brought to you by Sheena Boychuk. Yes, you heard that last name right. That's Sheena Boychuk. As a licensed realtor, Sheena has you covered to buy and sell your home in this hot market. She also offers home consulting services to help you upgrade your living space. Check her website out at SheenaBoychuk.com and tell her the Two Mods Podcast sent you. Realty by Design, your design approach to real estate.